Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins the second line from the top of Daf Ayin Ches. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading in the margin, we have written Kohen Gadol Ba'almana Loike Shtayim. A Kohen Gadol who has intimacy with a widow, he is guilty of two offenses, and hence two sets of lashings. Number one, Mishum Lo Yikach, the Torah prohibits a Kohen Gadol from marrying an Almona. And number two, Mishum Lo Yichalel, the profaning of his seed. In other words, the Kohen Gadol that impregnates an Almona creates children that are Halolim, that are disqualified from the kahuna. So that is a second offense. Now the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda, Kohen Gadol ba'almana loike shtayim. The Kohen Gadol that has intimacy with the almana is guilty of two offenses. I say intimacy, but technically speaking, I should say that a Kohen Gadol who marries the almana is guilty of two offenses. Achas mishum lo yikach. One, the prohibition of marrying her. Rashi says, Lo yikach mishum kiddushin, hu bebiyo shelachar kiddushin, hu dekomar loike shtayim. Rashi is very precise. He says that there's a violation of a lav, a negative command in marrying her. That's the kiddushin. And with regard to the intimacy after the marriage, that is the cause of the second offense. So that you have lo yikach, v'achas mishum, we're back in the Gemara, v'achas mishum lo yichalel. The lo yichalel is here described as he profanes her. We made mention before of profaning his seed, but more accurately, it's a the problem here is that he profanes her. Now the reference to the profaning of his seed is in fact the Gemara's next point. Veluki nami mishum lo yichalel zaro. Let him be punishable also for the profaning of his seed. So the Gemara answers with regard to Rav Yehuda's point of lo kishtayim, why is this not included as a third source of punishment? Bishalo gomar bioso. He did not complete his act of intimacy. Well, being that he didn't complete the act of intimacy, so there was no issuance of seed, and hence the prohibition or the violation of lo yichal el zaro doesn't apply. Rashi across from here says b'shelo gomar bi'oso deleko chilul zera. You don't have the violation of his seed, the profaning of his seed. Avol he nischalala b'haro. The woman, however, is disqualified at this point from kuna by the mere partial intimacy, which is referred to by the term ha'ra, partial insertion. The Gemara in Yevamos points out that ma'arev, partial insertion, is just as severe as complete insertion when it comes to the matter of profaning disqualifying her from the kahuna. And Almona, prior to having intimacy with the Kohen Gadol, was able to marry a standard Kohen. Now, as a result of the Kohen Gadol having intimacy with her, she is disqualified from that. Mosiv Rava. Rava raises a question from a Tanaic source onto Rabbi Huda. The source describes a Kohen Gadol having relations with an Almona that is also a Grusha. And it says here, Almona u Grusha loike mishum shnei shemois. He is guilty of lashing for two different labels. My lav shnei shemois v'sulo. Is it not so, then, that for this act, he's guilty of two offenses and not any more, namely, the violation of being with an almona, and the violation of being with a divorcee, but not a violation of lo yichalel. And Rabbi Yehuda, though, said that the Kohen Godol that takes the almona and has intimacy with her is guilty for lo yichalel as well. So this source presents a difficulty for Rabbi Yehuda. Lo, the Gemara says not so. Shnei shemois al zeh, u'shnei shemois al zeh. There are two violations or two labels, two offenses with each woman. With the almona, you'll have the lo yikach and lo yichalel, and with regard to the grusha, the intimacy with her creates the marriage with her is a lo yikach, and the intimacy results in lo yichalel. She becomes a halola as a result. Ihachi emosefa. If that's how to understand the source, then continue reading the continuation of the source, and it, where it says grusha v'chalutza eino chayov elo mishum achas. And what do you see here? Here you see that for this act, for the Kohen Gadol taking a grusha and a chalutza, she's a grusha and a chalutza, there's only one offense. Hochi ko'omar. Eino chayov elo al achas. What the source is saying is that he is in violation of a Torah offense only with regard to one of the women, namely with regard to the grusha, the chalutza, the woman who had participated in the shoe removal ceremony, releasing her yibum bond, we call her the chalutza, she is a rabbinic prohibition with regard to the kuna, not a Torah level prohibition. So the source that said grusha v'chalutza inu chayav elo mishum achas, it means he's chayav on a Torah level only with regard to one of the women, namely the grusha, uli oilom shnei shemos. However, the Kohen Gadol's marrying the grusha results in two violations: the lo yikach, the prohibition of marrying her, and the lo yichalel. Question: the chalutza de rabbonon, is that really so? That chalutza is only rabbinic v'atanya? We have a source, and the source is working with a pasuk. We have a partial quote of the pasuk on the side of our Gemara, Vayikra Chafal of Pasuk Zayin, where it says, V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu. And the Braisa goes on to say, V'atanya grusha, ein li'ela grusha, chalutza minayin, Talmud lomar v'isha. In the pasuk we read, we saw v'isha grusha. So the word v'isha appears to include the chalutza as prohibited to the Kohen. The Gemara responds, midrabbanan. The reference here is on a purely rabbinic level, ukra asmachta b'alma. The citation of the pasuk was merely as a reference point, but not that the pasuk itself is the source for the prohibition. The source for the prohibition is rabbinic, and they attach their rabbinic prohibition to a verse, but not at that. The verse is the actual source of the pasuk, of the source of the prohibition. As we go on, we see a new geometric form, a new marking. On the side of the Gemara, we have the nosei / mivneh. We combine the topic heading with structural note. We've highlighted the names Abaye and Rava, and on the side we've noted Machlokas Abaye v'Rava I Kayin Loike Al HaKidushin She'osa Im Achas Mipsule Kuna Kidesh V'lo Boal. Is a Kohen guilty of lashings for the mere act of marriage with one of the prohibited women without an accompanying act of intimacy? So is the act of marriage alone culpable? Omar Abaye, Kidesh Loike, Boal Loike. The Rashi, across from here, a couple lines down, we have a little star in the Rashi itself, maybe to help it easier to find. Kidesh Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedyon, Achas Min Apsulo, Samuros Be'inyan. The Kohen, whether it's a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyon, married one of the women that are prohibited. So the Gemara goes on, Kidesh Loike Mishum Lo Yikach, the offering of marriage to her and her acceptance of it results in Malkus, and the basis of that is the pasuk that says Lo Yikach. The Torah itself says he shall not take as a wife an almona, a grusha, etc. And Boal Loike Mishum Lo Yichalel, for the act of intimacy there is a separate Malkus, a separate set of lashings for having violated the prohibition of do not cause the profaning or the disqualifying. And when a Kohen has intimacy with one of the forbidden women, he imposes upon her the disqualification, I would say the additional disqualification of being called a Chalola. Rava Omar, Boal Loike, Lo Boal Eino Loike. If he has intimacy after the marriage, so then he is guilty of two offenses. Then we will say loikishnayim, lo boal, if he did not have intimacy after the marriage, eino loike, he's not subject to even one set of malkos, mishum dichtiv, and the reason for Rava's ruling is, the pasuk says, lo yikach velo yichalel. This is, in truth, a reference. We're referring to two psukim, and we've presented the say segmented or partial quote of these two psukim on the side of the Gemara in Vayikra Perichafal of psukim Yudalid and Tezvav. It says there almona grusha, etc. Es eile lo yikach, etc. Velo yichalel zaro be'amov. So Rava in seeing the juxtaposition of verses, he says, Matam lo yikach. What is the reason that the Torah warns against marrying? Mishum lo yichala, because it will lead to the profaning or the disqualifying of the woman. So, according to Rava, it's a type of all or nothing. He'll be guilty of two if upon marriage he also conducts intimacy with her. If he doesn't conduct the intimacy, then he won't be guilty of even one set of lashing for having merely married her. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a double underline marking, one of our series markings, which highlights the expression umoide, etc. You'll see umoide abaye, and a few lines later umoide rava, and further on ushnehem moidim, where there is each one is conceding to the other on a particular point or particular example. Umoide abaye, and even though abaye was mechayev malkis for kiddushin, with regard to Isur Kahuna, for the marriage of a Kohen with a woman to whom he is prohibited, Abaye will concede b'machzir grushasoi shin kidesh velo boal she'enoi loike. Rashi across from here says umoid Abaye afagav de mechayev malkis akidushin b'isur kuna. Even though Abaye was ready to impose Malkus for the violation of a kahuna marriage, hacha hu dechol chad v'chad la ba'at b'nafshe, v'lo tola ha'kosu v'zeh bozeh b'feirush. There, in the case of the kahuna, Abaye viewed the lav, the negative command of do not marry, as a separate command. And that is in contrast, of course, to Rava's approach. However, of all Yisrael, amachzir grushaso mishen niseis liacher, v'nisar melo in his garsha. In the case of a man remarrying his divorced wife after she had married someone else and left that second man. The Torah prohibits the original husband from taking her back. Afagav dichtiv lo yuchal lo shuv lekachto, even though the pasuk says he cannot take her back again, hadahinu azhora shelikat shena, which is a warning not to marry her, moidehu shein deino loike ad shival. Abaye concedes that in that case, there won't be malchus until the original husband has intimacy with her. The marriage is made dependent upon the intimacy. So Abaye, as we saw in the Gemara, is moide in the case of one who's machzik rushaso, where the Gemara says shimkinesh v'lo baal sheino loike. Why is that? Lokachto liyoslo liisham rachmona v'haleka. Rashi explains lokachto liyoslo liisha. The kevon the kicha hu kiddushin. In that pasuk, it said lokachto. That is a reference to the marriage. The phrase liyoslo liisha, even though lokachto itself means you're taking her as a wife. Why does the pasuk add the expression liyos lo liisha, to be unto him as a wife? It's an extra expression. Ishus shel biyakoma. The intention of the pasuk is to make reference to intimacy. So the pasuk that warns a man from remarrying his divorcee after she had married someone else, the pasuk is quoted, by the way, we should read it on the side of our Gemar Dvorim, Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. It says, Lo yuchal ba'lo ha-rishon asher shulcha lo shuv lekachto liyos lo liisha. So the negative command of taking her back is interdependent on liyos lo liisha, the intimacy. Hence, Abaye concedes that in that case, the case of machzir grushosa, which is not a Kohen-related prohibition, it's a general prohibition, the simple remarriage without a subsequent intimacy will not result in malchus. We continue in the Gemara, Umoide Rava. Rava will concede, even though with regard to the Isure Kahuna, Rava said that there would be two sets of malchus only when you have intimacy after the marriage. With regard to the marriage itself, there was no malchus. This, in the following, Rava concedes b'kain gadol b'almona she'im bo'al v'lo kidesh sheloike. In the case of a kain gadol and an almona, if he has intimacy with her without having married her prior, there is malchus. So this is a point of contrast with what Rava had mentioned earlier, and that's why the Gemara says Moide Rava. Rava concedes, namely, that even though with regard to Isurei Kuhuna, in order to be guilty of lashing, you would need to have two, both the marriage and the subsequent intimacy. In this case, with regard to the Almana and Kohen Gadol, the intimacy alone is grounds for malchus. The pasuk says, "V'lo yichalel zaro ba'amo v'mrachmona." He shall not profane his seed. The Torah said, "V'harei hu chilel." In a case like that, where he has intimacy, in light of the Gemara on the upper part of the page, it could be said here the intimacy might be one where he would have completed the insertion where there was Gemar Bia, so we can account for the Zera factor, for the seed issuance, which results in Malchus on its own, even though there was no prior marriage. Ushnehem Moidim B'machzi Gushoso Shein Boal V'lo Kide She'eno Loke. Both Abaye and Rava will agree, in the case of a man who remarries his divorcee, after she had, of course, married someone else and left him, if the original husband has intimacy without having married her, she'eino loike, there is no malchus. Why? Derech likuchin osra Torah. The Torah, with regard to that offense of machzir gushoso, says that the offense arises only when it's done through the act of marriage, not an act of intimacy without marriage. Let's look at Rashi. Further down on the page in the narrow lines, Shneim Moidim, B'machzir Gushoso, Afapishal Divrei Shneim Kain, B'psulo Loike Albiya Belo Kiddushin, even though both agree that a Kohen who has intimacy with someone who is with a woman that is prohibited to him, there is Malkis for the Bia without marriage. Moidim Hain B'Yisrael, B'machzir Gushoso, Mishin Nisais, in the case of Machzir Gushoso, which we said before was a general type offense, there will not be Malkus if it's just an act of intimacy. Let us glance at the side of the Gemara in the margin where we have the Nosei. We've written Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Umekora Debas Ger Zocher Psula Lakuna. We're seeking a source for Reb Yehuda's approach that the daughter of a man who converted to Judaism is unfit to marry a Kohen. The Gemara. Reb Yehuda Omer, Bas Ger Zohar, Kibas Cholo. We saw this in our Mishnah, that the daughter of a male convert to Judaism is not acceptable as one that would be able to marry a Kohen, just like the daughter of a Cholol. Tanya, Reb Yehuda Omer, Bas Ger Zohar, Kibas Cholol Zohar. The daughter of a convert is like the daughter of a Cholol. We've mentioned Cholol numerous times in our past Shiurim, so the daughter of a Cholol is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Vahadin no sein, and logic would suggest thusly: Ma cholol shebo mitipo ksheira bito psula. Mind you, a cholol that comes from tipo ksheira literally is a kosher drop. It's a reference to the seed from which a human being is formed. In the case of a cholol, his parents were Jewish. His parents were a Kohen who married a Jewish woman that he should not have married. But it comes from seed whose origins are in the Jewish people. And yet, Bito Psula, his daughter, is disqualified from marrying a Kohen. Ger Shebo Mitipo Psula. The Ger, he's a convert to Judaism. His birth into the world came from idolatrous seed. That's called Tipa Psula. So Enodin Shebito Psula, all the more so, his daughter should be considered unfit to marrying a Kohen. So the Brisa presents this Kalvachomer. The Gemara challenge. The Brisa challenges, though. Ma lecholol shekain yitzirasu ba'avera. You can't compare a bas cholol to a bas ger. The bas cholol has a deficiency, making her, we'll say, worse than the bas ger. Why? The cholol came into existence through sin. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, and if he did, he's sinning, and their child is a Cholol. So the daughter of someone like that, we can understand, is unqualified to marry a Kohen. Not so in the case of a convert who married a kosher spouse. There was no sin in their marriage. So it's not so clear that the daughter of the Ger should be prohibited to the Kohuna. The Gemara continues, Kohen Gadol Balmono Yochiach. The situation of a Kohen Gadol impregnating an Almona, a widow, will prove our point. She'ain, in other words, will serve as a counterbalance for what we just said. She'ein yitziroso b'aveira. Here you have a Kohen Gadol. His formation, his birth was not through sin. And yet, bito psula. Yet his daughter is unfit. So it shouldn't be of any surprise to us that the daughter of someone who came about without sin should likewise be disqualified. So that the daughter of the ger, or let us restate this point, the fact that the daughter of a cholol is disqualified is not necessarily because her father was formed through sin. Here you have the daughter of a Kohen Gadol with an almona, whose father was the Kohen Gadol. He was not formed through sin, and yet his daughter with the almona is prohibited to the kahuna. The Gemara says, as a response to that, ma le Kohen Gadol ba'almona, shekein bi'oso ba'avera. There I understand that the daughter is disqualified because the intimacy that was responsible for her formation was an intimacy of sin. Not so in the case of the ger that married a Yisraelis, the ger, the convert that had a kosher marriage. His intimacy with his spouse was not an intimacy of sin. Therefore, I don't know from what we've said till now that the daughter of the ger should be disqualified from the kahuna. The Gemara continues, well, cholol yochiach. Let the case of the cholol that marries a Yisraelis prove that even though you have a non-sinful intimacy, the daughter is nevertheless disqualified. The cholol, he may have been formed in sin, but his marriage with the Yisraelis, there's no sin in that, and yet his daughter is disqualified. The chozer hadin, the logic starts to revolve. Lo roize ke roize, the unique aspects of one are not like the other. So that after saying cholol yochiach, let the case of cholol prove the point, where we said that even though there was no sin in his marriage to his wife, the daughter is nevertheless disqualified. You can't prove, though, from that the case of the ger, because in the case of the cholol, we said he comes from tipa kshera, as opposed to the ger who comes from tipa psula. And we went on and on with the logic, hatzad hashova shebohen, the common denominator between cholol and kohen gadol with almona, she'enon b'roiv hakohol. They are cases, they are examples of things that are, we'll say, unique or different than the majority of the people. Each one has its own uniqueness. The case of Kohen Gadol Balmona, you have the child, the daughter there is formed through sin. You have the case of the Cholol, where his own formation was through sin. Af ani ovi es hager she'eno berov hakohol. I will now be able to include the case of the daughter of the ger, where he has a uniqueness that you don't find in the majority of the public, and that is that he comes from a tipa psula. Ubito psula. Just like the bas cholo, the bas, the daughter of a kohen gadol ba'almona, are psulim, all as a result of their respective unique we'll say deficiencies. I can likewise include the daughter of the ger as being psula because of that particular unique deficiency. The Gemara, though, responds, Ma lahatzara sheva shebahen, how can you derive ger, bas ger, from the case of Kohen Gadol ba'amona and cholol? Shekein yesh bohem tzad aveira. In both of those cases, there was an element of sin. The case of the Kohen Gadol ba'amona, the intimacy was sinful. The case of the cholol, and in the case of the cholol, his own formation was through sin. Both of those cases are not reflective upon the case of the ger. There was no sin with regard to the ger. The ger, a man who converted to Judaism, a praiseworthy act in and of itself, married a proper woman, had intimacy and bore a child. Where's their sin? There's no sin over there. Therefore, what is the precedent for Rabbi Yehuda's position that the daughter of a ger should be disqualified? So the Gemara says, taking all of this into consideration, lo tema kein gadol ba'mona yochiach, don't in the proof that we were establishing before by combining different factors, don't include the case of kein gadol ba'mona. Elo emo, but rather say the following. Now we've framed off a section where there's a restatement of the logic, which should lead to our conclusion that the Bas Ger Zohar should be disqualified. So let's see, what's the new factor or the new example? Elo emo Mitzri Rishon Yochiach. What's the case of Mitzri Rishon? This is a convert from the Egyptian people. The Torah has very specific guidelines for people who convert from the Mitzri people. The Mitzri Rishon marries, in this case, he cannot marry into the rank and file pure pedigree Jews. So he marries, let us say, a Mitzris Rishona, a first generation convert Egyptian woman. What is the story with their daughter? Well, their daughter cannot marry a Kohen. She can't even marry into the rank and file Jewish people. So and here you have a case of no sin. So that if you are trying to figure the case of the Bas Ger, learn from the case of Mitzri Rishon. The Gemara says, but I can't learn from the case of Mitzri Rishon. Ma le Mitzri Rishon shekein eino roi lovo bakohol. He's not fit to enter the rank and file Jewish people whatsoever. Not so with the case of the ger. Cholol yochiach. So let the case of cholol prove the point. Namely, the bas cholol is not allowed to marry the kohen. And the cholol doesn't have the prohibition of the mitzri of being eino roi lovo bakol. A cholol can marry a Jewish woman, and even so, his daughter is disqualified. So too the ger, who's allowed to marry a Jewish woman, his daughter will be disqualified. V'chozer hadin. The logic will then start to revolve, because if you cite the case of cholol, we're going to end up rejecting cholol as a precedent setter because he was formed through sin. As we said, the logic starts to revolve. Lo ro'izeh ke ro'izeh. One is not like the other. The Mitzri Rishon is not like the cholol, and the cholol is not like the Mitzri Rishon. Hatzara shava shebohen. The common denominator between them is she'enon b'roiv kohol u'bitoi psula. They are they have unique aspects, unique deficiencies that you don't find in the majority of the public. Afani obvious ager sheino barov kohol. I will thereby include now the ger also, who has an element that's not common in the majority of the population, and nevertheless and or I should say, as a result, Ubito Psula, the daughter of the Ger, similar to the daughters of the Mitzri Rishon and the Cholol, will be disqualified from the Kahuna. The Gemara asks, but Ma'asav Sheba Hench came Poislim Bebiosam. The two examples, the Mitzri Rishon and the Cholol, they cannot serve as a precedent for the Bas Ger. Why? Because a Mitzri Rishon that would have intimacy with a regular Jewish woman, or a Cholol that has intimacy with a regular Jewish woman, disqualifies that woman from the Kahuna. Rashi, in the middle of the wide lines under the Gemara, Poisim B'Yosan, Es Isha Min HaKahuna, K'disanel B'Pirkin, Ben Teish Shonu V'Yomecha, Ger, Amoni, Umoavi, V'Chule, Toma B'Ger, Sheino Posel B'Yoso. The Ger, however, who has intimacy with a woman, doesn't render her unfit to the Kahuna. The Gemara's response to this is for Rabbi Yehuda, Ger Nami Posel B'Yoso. In fact, the Ger, who has intimacy with a regular Jewish woman, renders her unfit to the Kahuna. Umaisi Lo B'ma Hatzad Mehai Dina. And Rabbi Yehuda derives that point from establishing the Mahatzad, the common denominator, based on the very logic that we just mentioned. Rashi says, Mehai Dino, Ma Cholol Shebo Mitipo Kshera Posel. Mind you, a Cholol who comes from kosher parents, his intimacy renders the woman with whom he had intimacy unfit. Ger Shebo Mitipo Psula Lo Kol Shekein, the convert who comes from idolatrous seed, all the more so will render the woman he has intimacy with unfit. And the notice the Rashi says, V'chule, you would, if you undo that Kavachomer, you undo that Kavachomer by saying that the case of the Cholol is worse because his formation was through sin, and as we said above, the logic will then revolve, and we create the Tzad HaShoveh, the common denominator, as we did above. And with that, Rabbi Yehuda comes to his conclusion that the Ger, who has intimacy with a woman, renders her unfit to the Kahuna. From our Mishnah, Daf Ayin Zayin, we saw Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv Oimer, Ger, that was Shenosa Bas Yisrael, the Bito Kshera Lakuna. This was, of course, an opinion that argues with Rabbi Yehuda. The daughter of a Ger is kosher. If the Ger married a regular Jewish woman, which is an acceptable marriage, the daughter is kosher to the Kahuna. The topic heading that introduces this Gemara we have on the side, Deos, Tanoim, Bivnois, Gerim, Lakuna. We'll see the different Tanaic opinions on this matter regarding the daughters of converts and their connection or their relationship with the Kahuna, allowed or not allowed. Tanya, Reb Shimon Nechoy Omer, Giores, Pusa, Mibas, Sholosh, Shonim, V'yomechot. This is a new opinion, another Tanaic opinion, that a woman, specifically a girl, a toddler, under the age of 3 that was converted to Judaism, Ksheira Lakuna, even though we say that a Giores, a converted woman, is not allowed to marry the Kahuna, according to Shimon Yochai, if she converted under 3 years of age, she is Ksher Lekuna Shenemar. The Pasuk says, V'cholataf b'noshim hechiyu lochem. This Pasuk is from the Chumash, from the story describing the battle of the Jewish people with the Midianites. And it says there that all the children, the taf, these are young children, amongst the women, hachayu lochem. As opposed to the command to kill out the Midianites, these, the young girls, you keep for yourselves. Vahalo Pinchas ha'imayim. In that battle, you had a Kohen. You had Pinchas the Kohen, who was with them. So what do you see from here? That if you have girls under the age of 3 that are converted to Judaism, a Kohen is allowed to take her as a wife. The significance of under 3 years of age, let us point out now, it will hold us in good stead for the Gemara later on. There's a, we'll call it a biological phenomenon that is of importance here, and that is, if a girl under 3 years of age is exposed to an act of intimacy, the membrane that exists in the female anatomy at that point, at that location on her body, we call it the basulum. Maybe you refer to it as the virginity, which is not the anatomical expression, but nevertheless there's a membrane that when broken, if penetrated under the age of 3, it grows back. We'll call it the entranceway, the orifice, becomes resealed. However, if intimacy is conducted with a girl over 3 years of age, that's it. The basulim are broken and they do not grow back. That point is important for understanding Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his point of under 3 years of age. And we'll see a scriptural reference to this a bit later. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai is allowing this example of convert to marry a Kohen, girl under 3. V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who disagree with Rav Shimon bar Yochai, what about the verse that he quoted? Hachayu lochem lavodim l'shvachos. It means you can keep them alive for slave purposes, but not for marriage purposes. V'kulon mikro echadorshu. All of the Tanaic opinions that we've seen, we're going to number 4 of them, all of them are based on the same pasuk. Each one has their own interpretation of the same pasuk. Almana ugrusha lo yikhu lohem lenoshim ki im besulos mizera beis Yisrael. The pasuk that we're citing is from Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet pasuk Chaf Beis, and there's a continuation to the pasuk. It says, V'almona asher tia almona mikoyen yikachu. The Gemara continues now. Each one of the Tanoim emphasizing a different aspect of this pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Abbas Ger Zohar is psul kuna. Why? Ad de'is kol zera miYisrael. There is not any allowance to the kuna. Maybe we should have emphasized, maybe it's obvious, but the pasuk we just read, Almana Grusha Lo Yikhu, is a pasuk referring to the kind of women that kohanim are allowed or not allowed to take as wives. So in the pasuk it said, Kiim Basulos Mizera Beis Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says that she must be Kol Zera Miyisrael. That means both of her parents must be original Jews, where one of them, where the father is a convert, so she will not be qualified to marry a Kohen. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankiv Sovar, Mi Zera. The Pasuk said, Mi Zera, Beis Yisrael. Mi Zera means Vafilu Miksa Zera. Even if part of her parenthood is from Yisrael, even if her mother alone is from Yisrael, though the father is a convert, she's qualified to marry the kuna. Rabbi Yossi Sova, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that a ger shenosu gyores, two convert parents, the daughter produced is ksheiro lekuna, is qualified to marry the kahuna. Into the kahuna, Rabbi Yossi Sova, mi she nizru'u b'Yisrael. as long as she was conceived by Jews. The fact that mother and father, their origins were not Jewish, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, that's not a disqualifying factor. As long as she, the child, the daughter, the girl, was conceived as by parents that are right now Jewish, that's enough. She's qualified to marry a Kohen. Reb Shimon ben Yochai Savar, mi shenizru'u besuleha b'Yisrael. Someone whose besulim were formed while Jewish. Besulim is a term we use, we mentioned before, to the membrane that exists in the female anatomy that if broken before the age of 3, it will grow back. So at that point, convert under the age of 3, her besulim, even if they were penetrated beforehand, would have grown back as a girl that's already Jewish. So that makes her qualified for marrying a Kohen. Omar le Rav Nachman le Rava. Hai kra, this pasuk, the pasuk from Yechezkel that we cited, is a pasuk whose structure is a bit unusual. It's also a bit difficult to follow. Why? Reisha b'Kohen Gadol, the beginning of the pasuk mentions that they shall not take an almona grusha ki besulos. Only ones that a Kohen is allowed to take are virgins. That is a mitzvah, that's a requirement that's unique to a Kohen Gadol. So the beginning of the pasuk is addressing a Kohen Gadol. The seifa, the Kohen Hedyo. The seifa, the end of the pasuk, speaks about almona shirtiya almona mikohen yikhu, that a woman who's an almona can be married. That is true when you're talking about a Kohen Hedyo. A common Kohen is allowed to marry an almona, like the end of the pasuk says. So, how do you make sense of this pasuk? It begins by talking to a Kohen Gadol, and at the end it addresses a Kohen Hedyo. Omar Leyin, Rava says, yes, that's right. The Gemara says, V'kosav kro hachi, do individual psukim speak thusly? Now, what's the problem? So Rashi says, V'kosav kro hachi b'tmiha. We read this with wonderment. The lo porish be'behedyo de begavra achrino, boy lishtiye. The pasuk doesn't indicate, as you read it, the transition from one type of person that's being addressed to the other. You would expect some kind of transition in the pasuk itself that makes it obvious that we're now finished with our addressing a Kohen Gadol and talking now about common Kohanim. But the pasuk doesn't do that. So the Gemara asks in wonderment, do psukim speak thusly? Do verses appear thusly? And the Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a long answer, Omar Lei, in Rava says yes. Bichtivan will show you precedent for that, for a type of a verse that has two references, two different locations or references in it without any clear transition expression. Not only that, look at this. Dichtiv Vener Lakim Terem Yichbe Vishmul Sheikhe Behechal Hashem. The pasuk describes the ner, the candle of the Almighty before it went out, and there Shmuel is a reference to Shmuel the prophet. Samuel was reclining in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Heichal Hashem, in the holy section of the Beis Hamikdash. V'halo ein yeshiva bazor al machi beis David bilvad. How can Shmuel, who was not a Kohen, Shmuel was a Levi. He was not a Kohen. How could he be reclining in the Heichal Hashem? The Heichal Hashem is the enclosed part of the Beis Hamikdash. There's a rule that one is not allowed even to sit in the temple courtyard, let alone recline, except for kings from the Davidic dynasty. Elo l'malchei Beis David bilvad. So the pasuk cannot be left as it is. Elo, so what is the sense that we can make out of that pasuk? Ner Elokim Terem Yichbe Behechal Hashem. The menorah, which burns in the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal of God. So you have the menorah burning before it went out in the Heichal Hashem. Ushmuel Shochev Bimakomo. The reference to Shmuel reclining was that Shmuel was reclining in his location in the Levite chambers. The Levite chambers that were part of the general Beis HaMikdash complex, which was outside the Azorah, so there Shmuel was reclining. So that you see a pasuk that there's a reference to two different locations, but as you read the pasuk in a smooth fashion, you don't see a reference to the transition from one location to the other. The pasuk that we referred to before, from Yecheskel, Perek Mem Daled, pasuk Chof Beis, it said, this is what it said from the end of the pasuk. You might have noted that we had written it on the side of Ayin Chesam and Aleph in the margin. It had said there, at the end of the pasuk, for Amona Asher Tia Amona Mikoyin Yikhu, and we already established that the end of the pasuk was addressing common kohanim, a kohen edyot. So when you read this, it says an almona, a widow, that's a widow from a kohen. Her first husband was a kohen. So are we to understand mikohen in Yisrael? No, an almona only if she's a widow from a kohen and not from a Yisrael. That's not true. We know that an almona, a widow of all types, whether her first husband was a Kohen or her first husband was Yisrael, are allowed to marry a Kohen Hedyo. Hochi Ko'omar. So, thusly, we're to understand that pasuk. Mikohen Yikhu means Mishar Kohanim. From other Kohanim, to the exclusion of a Kohen Gadol, an Almona can be taken as a wife. Tanyo Nami Hochi. Mikoyen Yikhu means Mishar. The Mem means is a limitation letter. From the Kohanim, an Almona can be taken. It doesn't mean the Almona of a Kohen. It means from amongst the Kohanim to the exclusion of a Kohen Gadol, an Almona can be married. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Min Hamasiim Lekuhuna Yikhu. That means the almona, the widow of a man whose daughter could have married a Kohen. What is Rav Yehuda trying to accomplish? What is he trying to exclude through his statement? The Gemara reveals to us, Rav Yehuda l'mute l'taime, Rav Yehuda, in saying what he does, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. D'omar, Bas Ger Zohar Kebas Cholo Zohar. The daughter of a male convert, even if he married a Jewish woman, his daughter is like the daughter of a Cholo. And what's the rule that forms Rav Yehuda's position? Kol Shato Noisei Bito. If you can marry the man's daughter, it means if a Kohen can marry the man's daughter, Ato, the Kohen, no salmonoso, can marry his wife. V'chol shi ato noise bito, if you can't marry his daughter, what's the example? The daughter of a ger, according to Rabbi Yehuda. If you can't marry his daughter, I ato noise almanoso, you can't marry his widow. The Kohen cannot marry his widow. So Rabbi Yehuda, in the framed source above, five lines up, when he said, Rabbi Yehuda said, Min hamasiim lekuhuna yikhu, from women whose husbands produce a daughter that can marry a Kohen. So the widow of such a man is also kosher to the kuhuna. This excludes the widow of a ger, because, as we said, According to Yehuda, the daughter of the ger cannot marry a kohen. Rabbi Yossi Omer Af Ger Shenosa Gioras. On the side of the Gemara on Dowry the Nosei, we've written Psikas Halacha Legabi Bas Ger Vigioras Lakuna. Here the Gemara will rule on the topic of the daughter of two parents, mother and father, that are both converts. So Rabbi Yossi says, Af Ger Shenosa Gioras, the daughter is able to marry into the kahuna. Omar Rav Hamnuna Mishmei De'ula Halacha K'Reb Yossi V'chein Omar Rabo Barbarchana Halacha K'Reb Yossi. So you have these two opinions ruling like Reb Yossi, that the daughter of a ger shenosa geres is k'sheri l'kahuna. U'miyoyim shecharav beis hamikdash noagu koinim silsul bi'atzmam K'Reb Elozer ben Yankiv. From the time of the destruction of the Holy Temple, kohanim amongst themselves accepted a practice of, we'll say it, a restrictive practice, a practice of, we'll say, exclusivity, and follow Reb Elozer ben Yankiv, which disqualifies the daughter of two convert parents. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Li Huna. So Rav Nachman says that Rav Huna said, Bo Limlach, if a Kohen comes to consult regarding the daughter of two convert parents, Meirim Loik Reb Elozer ben Yankiv, we will tell him that he should look for a different mate. Nosa, if a Kohen post facto, he married the daughter without consulting us, he married the daughter of two convert parents, Ein Moitzin Oisa Mimenu Ki Reb Yossi. We don't force a separation, basing ourselves on Reb Yossi, who says that the daughter of two convert parents is kosher, is acceptable as a wife for a Kohen. Now we have a new Mishnah, and on the side we have a topic heading, Ne'monus So'av Loimar, the believability of a father to say Zeh B'ni B'chor, to identify his son, a particular son, is saying, this is a firstborn. Zeh B'ni Hu Ben Vrusha, or to identify a son and saying, this is my son that I had with a Grusha. In other words, I'm a Kohen, and the woman that bore this son of mine was a divorcee. In effect, the father is saying that this child is a cholo. The Mishnah. Ha'imer v'ni ze mamzer. Eino ne'mon. A father who declares his son as a mamzer is not believed. V'afilu shnehem oimrim al ha'ubor shebemea mamzer hu einom ne'monim. And even if both parents say regarding an as yet unborn that the fetus that the woman is carrying is a mamzer, they are not believed. Rabbi Yehuda oimer ne'monim. Rabbi Yehuda says they are believed. My ve'afilu shnehem. Once you say that a father is not believed to say that this boy is a mamzer, what does the Mishnah add when it says even if both parents say that it's a mamzer? What's the bigger chiddush? What's the more novel point in point Bays, in the second point of the Mishnah, beyond the first point? The Gemara explains, Lo Mibaya Ko'omar. The structure of the Mishnah is in the Lo Mibaya fashion. What do we mean by that? So we read on in the Gemara, Lo Mibaya Ihu. I don't have to tell you about him, the father, Delo Kim Lei. He isn't sure. He's not 100% sure. When he says that this child is a mamzer, that would mean that his his wife, who's married to him, had intimacy with someone else. Maybe he himself fathered the child. He can't know for sure. And the Mishnah says, well, he is not believed. All right, so we say, I don't have to tell you he is not believed because he's not saying something with assuredness. Elo afilu ihi, even the woman herself, the kim law, she knows with whom she had intimacy. Lo mehemno, she's still not believed. Velo mibayo hecho de isle chazoka de kashrus de lo mehemni. And I don't have to tell you, in a case where a child was already born, and at his birth he was assumed to be kosher, not to be an illegitimate child, where someone had a cheska, chazoka de kashrus, the status of kashrus. So they're not believed to alter the status. They're not believed until you have formal testimony, two kosher witnesses. A father, a mother, these are not kosher witnesses. They are relatives. And as such, they can't testify. So I don't have to tell you that the parents are not believed regarding an already born son that had originally a status of kashrus until they came along trying to challenge it. Elo afilu ubar nami, the lesle chazoka de kashrus, but even the as yet unborn, who doesn't have the status of a kosher living person, he's not been born yet. Nevertheless, lo mehemni, the parents are not believed. As we said, they are relatives, and relatives are disqualified in saying testimony. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ne'emonim, Rabbi Yehuda says they are believed. Kedisanya, we have the following Tanaic source, quoting a pasuk. And before we read the source, let's glance at the side where we have Dvorim, Posuk Chafalav, Perik Chafalav, Posuk Yudzayin. It says there, Ki es habachor ben asnua yakir loseis loi pishnayim b'chol asher yimotzei lo. Posuk refers to a firstborn son receiving a double portion. And in the posuk, the word yakir appeared. Yakir means to make noticeable, make recognizable, to present. And the Gemara goes on. Kedisanya yakir, what are we to learn from that? Yakirenu lachirim. He is made recognizable or noticeable to others. What does that mean in practical terms? So mikan omar Rabbi Yehuda, from here Rabbi Yehuda says, Nemon odom lomar, a man is believed to say, Zebeni Bechor, this is my firstborn son. That's Yakir. The father is doing what the verb of Yakir suggests. This is what the father is doing when he says, this is my firstborn son. He's identifying and presenting his son as a firstborn to others. And just like the father has believability with regard to establishing his firstborn status in the eyes of others, he's also believed when he says that this son of mine was fathered by my having married a forbidden woman, a divorcee, or a chalutza, which are women that are forbidden for a kohen to marry. And by the father's, admission or testimony, the son, though he himself, the father, is a kohen, the son will not be regarded as a kohen. He's going to be regarded as a cholol. The chachomim omrim eino ne'emon. The chachomim here disagree with point Bays. The father is not believed to make a statement, of son's disqualification from kahuna. Rashi points out that with regard to father's believability in establishing in the eyes of others a particular son as his firstborn, there he is believed. Omar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok le Rava, Bishlamo le Rav Yehuda Hainu Dichtiv Yakir. I understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is what the word Yakir teaches me. It grants the Torah grants the father believability regarding identifying his son's status. So even though in terms of laws of testimony, a father is a relative and he can't testify, but regarding establishing child status, the word Yakir says a father has that right, that power. El Rabbonan Yakir Lomali, according to the Rabbonan, what does the Torah Yakir, what does the word in the Torah Yakir mean? What does it teach us? Answer, Bitzorich Hekera. That's a specific case where a man comes from overseas, and we don't know anything about his children. In a case like that, the father can say, this is my son, the firstborn. Lamai Hilchasa, what's the purpose in that? What's the practical ramification of the father's declaration that this is my son, the firstborn? Lo seis lo pishnayim, is the purpose in that to enable the child to get a double portion in his eventual inheritance? Pshita, that's obvious. Lama likro, what do I need a pasuk for that? Since the father could have given him a gift of whatever he wanted, certainly he could have given him a double portion as a gift. So he is believed because he had that power anyway. So he's believed in saying, this is a firstborn. So where does the need for a pasuk come in? If it's simply for the child to be able to receive a double portion, that even without the pasuk, I know the father is believed because he could have proactively given him a double portion. So the Gemara answers, "Benechosim shenoflu le'achar mikain." We'll take a look at Rashi. Le'achar mikain, le'achar shomar lefonenu b'chorhu. After the father made his declaration, this is my firstborn. Naflu lo, he came into new properties. And the father wants to take a long journey. Umeid alav sheim yiplu nechosim shel av o echad mimorishim lefonov bechayov yitoze bohen chelik bechora. The father, in saying this is my son, the firstborn, his intention in that is that even properties that this father will inherit in the future, after he makes this declaration, that those properties too will, when dispersed through inheritance, this boy will receive a double portion. Rashi goes on, Tilahachi, for this purpose, namely future properties that the father gets, should, when distributed in an inheritance, this kid will get a double portion. Ilav dashmin and kra, if not for the pasuk revealing to us that the father can establish, can testify that this son is a firstborn. Leka migudi boy lemisvinu, you don't have the logic mentioned before. Well, believe the father anyway, because he could have distributed it as a gift. At this point, that the father is making the declaration, this is my firstborn, and he has intention to refer to properties that he himself, the father himself, hasn't gained access to. You can't give as a gift something you don't have yourself. A person cannot transact something that hasn't come to be. But now that he's made this declaration, v'hashta shokil b'toras yerusha, because the Torah gives the father believability, even those future properties, when eventually they are distributed in an inheritance, this son will receive a double portion. We continue in the Gemara. Ula Rebbe Meir Diomar Odomakna Dover Shalo Bolio Ilom Yakir Lomali. According to Rebbe Meir, he has the well-known opinion that a person can transact properties that have not come into being yet. Namely, the father hasn't gained access to these properties. For example, you have a man, this father, who in turn has his own father, we'll call the son's grandfather, who is alive and kicking. At some point, the grandfather is going to expire, and the father will inherit those properties. According to Rabbi Meir, the father at this point can distribute those properties that he hasn't yet inherited because of the principle of Odom Makne Dover Shelo Bo Le'olam. So if you accept Rabbi Meir's position that Odom Makne Dover Shelo Bo Le'olam, I don't need a pasuk to enable the father to establish the son's firstborn status in order to receive a double portion, even without the pasuk, the father could have distributed the properties in a gift form through the power of Odom Makne Dover Shelo Bo Le'olam. So what do I need the verse for? What is the verse revealing to me that I wouldn't have known otherwise? The Gemara answers, Shenaflu lo kishu goises. The properties that will benefit from this firstborn testimony are properties that the father of this child acquires at the point that he, that father himself, is in the throes of death. So that the even Rabbi Meir concedes that we speak about Odom Makne Dover Shelo Bo Le'olam, you can transact properties that you will receive in the future, provided that you receive them at the point that you're still healthy. But one who receives properties at the point he's a goses, there he could not have redistributed or given as a gift those properties on the basis of Odom Makne Dover Shelo Bo Le'olam. If that be the case, properties that the father acquires when he is a goses, how will the son get a double portion of them? Answer, only because the father is believed to declare his son as a firstborn. Rashi adds a significant point, and that is, with regard to properties that fall to a person after his death, there is no rule of distribution of double portion to firstborn. We'll leave that aside as a detail, but look into the Rashi for further information. The Mishnah. Mishanosan Rishus Lishlucho Likadesh is Bito. Folohu Vikicho. Man assigned an agent to marry Likadesh is Bito to marry off his daughter. So a man sent an agent. An agent to find a suitable man for his daughter, and the father himself went out to find the suitable man for his daughter. That's v'halachu v'kitcha. So we have a kind of like a race going on. On the one hand, an agent was sent out to find a husband, and the father himself went out to find a husband for the daughter. Im shelo kidmu, if his own efforts were faster than the agent's, kiddushav kiddushin, then the marriage that the father established, in other words, he found a man and accepted money on behalf of his daughter, then that would be the binding marriage. Im shel shlucho kidmu, if the agent's acceptance of marriage on behalf of the sender's daughter came first, then Kiddusha of Kiddushin, then the agent's established marriage would be the binding one. The im eino yodua, and if we don't know which one came first, and this girl wants to marry some other man, the Gemara continues at the top of Ayin Tesom and Aleph, Shnehem Noisnim Get. The two men that the father and the agent had arranged for marriage, those two men will have to give a divorce to the girl. V'im Ratsu, if those two men come to the following agreement, then Echod Noisen Get, one will give her a divorce, V'Echod Kones, and then the other one can take her in as a wife. V'chein ho'isha, and here we have an almost we'll say repeat of the Mishnah, but from the woman's standpoint. V'chein ho'isha shenosna rishus l'shulcha l'katsha, a woman who sent out an agent on her behalf to find a husband, and the agent would accept the marriage money on her behalf. V'hocha v'kitshas atzmon, the woman went out on her own. In other words, she sent an agent and she herself went out on her own to find a husband. Im shelo kidmu, if her own efforts came first, kidushel kidushin, then the man that she married on her own would be the binding marriage. Im shel shlucha kodmu, if the man that the agent married on her behalf came first, then kidushav kidushin, then the agent's man would be the husband. V'im einam yoidim, if it's not known, then shnehem noisnim loget, then these two men would have to give her a divorce document in order for her to be able to marry someone else, because at this point she's definitely married, but to one of the men, we just don't know to whom. So they'll both give her a get. V'im rotsu, if they reach an agreement, echod noisnim loget, then one will give her the divorce, v'echod kones, and the other one will take her in. This Mishnah seems to have a major redundancy to it. Do I need both examples? Utsricha. Here we have a long point. The long point indicating I need both cases to be taught. Diashmin and Gabi di Dei. If we would have just told the case of the father and his agent, Mishum de Gavro Kim Le Biuchsin. Rashi at the top, Mishum de Gavro Kim Le Biuchsin, Ukshemotso Miucheses, Kitsholo, Ubitel Es Hashaliach. Fathers, men are well aware of matters of purity of pedigree. And when he finds a woman of pure pedigree, he will marry. When he finds a man of pure pedigree, he will marry his daughter unto him, unto this gentleman that he found. Ubitel es hashliach, and will cancel the agency. Avol itza, but from the woman's standpoint, lo kim lo biyuchsin, she's not familiar with matters of pedigree. Ema, there's room to say afal gav de kitsha atzma, even though she married herself, lo bitlo es hashliach, she didn't necessarily cancel the agency. And she's not really relying on the own on the marriage that she conducted. Maybe the agent will find someone more miyuchas, of greater pedigree than the man I found. So let's go back to the Gemara and read this again. The Yashmin and Gabi Didei, had we taught only the first section of the Mishnah with regard to the father and his agent, Mishum de Gavro Kimle Biyuchsin, because men are well attuned to the qualifications of pedigree. So as we saw in the Rashi, where the father met an appropriate husband, he would have canceled the agency. Aval itza delo kim lo biyuchsin, but women who aren't so grounded in matters of pedigree, emo lo nehevu kidushel kidushin, she might be willing to forfeit the marriage that she established in favor of the one that the agent found on her behalf. So it's important for me to teach the second part of the mission as well, where we say that if the woman's initiated marriage came before the agent's, what she did stands. V'yashmin agabi nida, and had we taught only the case of the woman, mishum di itso daiko minsibo, a woman is careful when she chooses a mate. Daiko mitzvah is a concept that you find in other places of in Shas as well. And as a result of this idea of an Isha Daiko mitzvah, we say that when she finds a man, she will certainly have canceled her agent's power of agency. Aval Ihu, the man, the father, Emo lo ichpas le. Rashi, on the first narrow line, says, lo ichpas le babito. The father doesn't care so much about his daughter, im tinose le miuchas koldehu, as long as she marries someone that has any level of pedigree, acceptable pedigree. Falo bat le lishlichus du shaliach, and he is not going to be canceling the agency. Fafilu mikacho ligorua, even if he happens to marry her off to someone worse, faha de kodim kitsha, and that which the father married her off before the agent, sovar dilmalo mishkach. Maybe the agent won't find anybody. Avali mishkach lo batle, but if he finds someone, I'm not going to cancel what he does. Therefore, we have to tzricha, therefore, in addition to teaching you the case of the woman who goes out on her own and also appointed an agent, it's necessary to teach the case of the father and his agency as well, that whenever the father meets the appropriate man before the agent, you can assume that the father will have canceled the agency, and therefore the father's marriage will be the one that's binding. Therefore, we say tzricha, we need both cases. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.